What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Boys, I've said this before. I'll say it again. March has me lit.
It is. It's one of the best weekends in all sports. It's amazing. And to answer your question, Jedi, not much. I just binge-watched all those basketball games.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a better weekend in the world than Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of rounds one and two.
I disagree. It's this weekend right here, Sweet 16 weekend. Less games, but better games.
I don't know. I don't know. The first round was fire. Second round was kind of boring. First round was unbelievable.
The overtime games were really cool.
Yes.
Well, as we're filming this, we do have breaking news right now. Jordan Montgomery has signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks for a deal worth $25 million. That includes a $20 million player option for 2025. So Jordan Montgomery kind of gets his payday if he's talking like the rest of us and are normal people, but doesn't get what he wanted. He wanted almost $200 million is what he said in the beginning of the offseason. So he gets nowhere near that. Scott Boras, you fail yet again. Clown.
Another L. How many years
another
was it,
L. Washed. Huh?
Was it just 1 year?
Yeah, but with a vesting option for a second year.
Okay. I mean, love it. Yeah. Eduardo Rodriguez just went down with an injury. I think it was like a lat strain or something. Those can be worrisome and lead to possibly, you know, months and months on the shelf. So I absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this rotation, I think you can confidently say, I don't know a rotation that is equivalent to this. This is an amazing rotation. Jordan Montgomery, who had a stellar postseason, World Series champ with the Texas Rangers, is now with Zach Gallen, who's one of the best arms in baseball. Miro Kelly, who had an all-star year last year. Eduardo Rodriguez, who I know he's down, but still, when healthy, if he does what he did last year for the Tigers, he was great. And then you have Brandon Pfaadt, who had a stellar postseason too. And then Ryan Nelson. I mean, you don't even need him anymore, though, because you have Jordan Montgomery, but he showed flashes of being pretty good. This rotation's scary.
I called him to win the NL West. I think this just improves the odds right here.
You know, it's crazy because I'm interested to see what Vegas alters their line to for regular season wins. It's set right now at 83.5, but with the addition of Montgomery, I can see that going up to like 87, 88, maybe 90. And that team, and I think we discussed it before. I think, yeah, maybe like the World Series. If they decided to spend money, this could be dangerous. Clearly, this is an organization that is going for it in this window, and I respect the hell out of it.
And I like it too. They're not, you know, they're a small market team. Well, let me rephrase that. It's a huge market, but money wise, they're a small market team. The signings that they've had, they haven't been break the bank signings, but they've been great additions to what they need. They got a good young core. They need a little bit more power. They added Suarez. They need a little bit more starting pitching. Went out and got Rodriguez and then just now Montgomery. Absolutely love it.
It's exciting. I think it's really exciting. I hope that they make another playoff run like they did this past year in 2023, because it was fun to watch. They're an exciting team to watch. And Houdini, like you said, when these teams decide to spend money and don't try to just always go internal and save a few extra bucks and really try to compete, it's really satisfying, not only if you're a fan of the Diamondbacks, but a fan of baseball. But it's time for another edition of Judge Jedi. So Shohei Ohtani's obviously in the news right now with this whole gambling situation. $4.5 million disappeared. It was from his translator. How do you say his name? In Pepe? In Poupe?
In Poupe.
What was the last one?
And Poupe and Pepe.
I don't know, and I don't want to butcher it.
Just gonna call him Ipe.
It's like,
let's just call him the translator.
No.
That's fine. Good with calling him the translator.
Yeah, I'm good with calling him the translator because everyone knows that I don't know how to pronounce anything. So
That's a future fucking Netflix film right there. The translator.
Ipe.
That's right. That Ipe. Is it.
Mizuhara.
Ipe, the translator.
We don't need the last name.
Yeah, Ipe, the translator.
Ipe, the translator. There's a lot of stuff going on there. We're going to break it down later. But right now, Judge Jedi, Ohtani is lying about his involvement in this gambling situation.
Deepaw, what side do you want?
Give me the side of he's lying, unless okay. you want it.
I mean, I do want it, but it's fine. I can argue. Okay, no,
take it.
No, it's
take
fine.
Take it.
Okay. He's 100% lying. The story changed within 24 hours. Red flag number one. Red flag number two, $4.5 million. We're not talking about 20 bucks. We're talking about $4.5 million. So unless the translator it has power of attorney of all of his finances, there's no possible way Shohei doesn't know that this is going on. I think the more alarming thing is what is being bet on. I want to see the tickets. If it's on Ohtani and he's lying, he might be out of baseball, which would be the worst possible scenario for Major League Baseball. But there's just no way you sign a contract for $700 million, defer 680 of it, but you got no problem Venmoing $4.5 million to an illegal bookmaker because it's illegal to bet in California. You're not that dumb. And I've said I love the guy because he does nothing wrong. He fucked up. In my opinion, he fucked up and he got banged on it. And he's not the only athlete that is in a gambling situation for a little, you know, foreshadowing here.
All right. So, no, he's not lying. The first red flag that you brought up was because Ipe, the translator, which, by the way, could be a great action movie, put that story out. That was him putting that story out. That did not come from Ohtani or anybody within the Dodgers. That the first story that broke was Ipe getting that story out. So second thing, though, is the access to the accounts. How could that much money go missing? Well, you brought it up on a previous podcast about Yamamoto coming over and not knowing anything about the country. He's 20 some years old. So he comes over not knowing a lick of English. These translators, who, by the way, was one of his best friends, have access to all of these accounts because Shohei doesn't know anything about English. Getting a driver's license, opening up a United States bank account, you know, paying a utility bill, paying any type of bill whatsoever. That guy, that translator, is going to have access to those accounts and to have access to that money. You mentioned his contract to Houdini. If you had a massive gambling problem to the tune of $4.5 million, wouldn't you not want some of that money deferred and want a lot of that money up front? My client has earned $42 million roughly playing baseball, which is a fraction of what his true net worth is going to be with sponsorship. So
37 and a half after the debt has been paid.
But no, I do not think he's lying. That the Japanese culture is built on honor and, you know, owning up to mistakes and everything. And he not only said that he's lying, he accused him of stealing, which is a massive, massive accusation to make, which could legally too, if he's saying that and he's not, you know, he wasn't actually stealing, that could be a lawsuit onto Ohtani himself too.
I have one question.
All right.
Why have charges not been filed yet?
There's still fact gathering. Like he's caught up in the entire investigation. Like there's going to be charges.
Ohtani's full of crap. He's lying. He's guilty. There's no way around this. There's two scenarios here. There's two scenarios.
Oh my God.
Either one, Ohtani is lying through his teeth and he's guilty, or two, he's a freaking idiot. How do you lose $4.5 million out of your bank account and don't realize that it's gone? And then magically one day when this story pops up, now you're alarmed about it. Oh my gosh, I didn't know about it. All this stuff. Look, I've seen a lot of pictures going around of him attending all these games and he's sweating a little. It's a face that someone had some money on the line. He's 100% guilty. I don't like story changed 90 minutes after this released. It was informed that Ohtani knew he was paying the debts of his translator. 90 minutes later, Ohtani didn't know anything about this. There's way too many things popping up to where he's trying to cover himself, and Ohtani probably slipped and said something by accident, and the Dodgers were like, whoa, they're PR people, and they knew that they messed up. The fact that there were no cameras allowed inside the meeting that where he was addressing the media, no cameras allowed. There's way too much stuff going on right now, and it sucks because he is the poster child of baseball, and if he is guilty, I don't know how baseball recovers. Their biggest star on the planet in the last 100 years is going to be banned from baseball. And the only problem I have with it, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but if he gets away with it, Pete Rose automatically in the Hall of Fame. Nobody even needs to vote. There is no voting. He just gets in the Hall of Fame.
I do agree with that. I do think Pete Rose should go to the Hall of Fame. His comment was absolutely unbelievably savage. Yeah, what a savage, dude. I love Pete Rose. So upon second thought, there are times where $45 is taken out of my bank account. I have no idea why. I don't think twice about it. So in his checking account, if he has like $37 million and it goes down to like 33 and he's just swiping his card because he never has to deal with his finances, right? Like, I could see that getting past him.
So I looked at it. That's funny you bring that up. I looked at it, you know, say he has $100 million in his savings account. And dude's probably got a bunch of investment accounts. Like, dude's probably got money everywhere, right? So in one of his accounts, say it has $100 million in it. If $4.5 million goes missing, roughly 4% right there, okay? If you had $20,000 in savings, that's the equivalent of $800. You're exactly right, Dino. I'm renovating my house right now. If I saw $800 go out of my savings, oh, it's like, well, probably something for the sink. Probably got a new dishwasher. You know, like, stuff is expensive. It could have been a bunch of different things that he was paying for. Is it possible? Yeah, when you got that much money, it does seem a little shady, though, Jedi. I will give you that.
I don't know. He could just be an idiot, too much.
Maybe the guy just doesn't manage his money. He probably has someone to do it, you know?
I believe that, but I find it hard to believe that his translator is the one doing it.
No, but his translator has the access to the account to do it, though. That's the part.
But that's the thing, is that if somebody is controlling his accounts, you don't think that they say, hey, what are you spending $4.5 million on out of nowhere?
I just want to know what he's betting on.
And that's the big question. And if it's has nothing to do with baseball, I guess he's free because you're allowed to do that.
No, you're not
illegal in California.
It's illegal in California. So that's the one thing that, even if Ohtani was like, yeah, I put $1 million on the Super Bowl, still not good for baseball. But what I'm looking at is, because there's a lot of fake stories that come out on social media. That's obvious. We've all have fallen victim to them at some point. But there's a lot of people out there that are trying to push the narrative that it's over under innings pitched or over under runs given up. And then he gets shelled. Videos, that's bullshit, right? Like, that's bullshit. I know that's bullshit. But if this dude is betting on whether or not Ohtani homers, I fucking love this. Like, if he's betting for all positive things for Ohtani, I love the translator.
It's the same thing Pete Rose did, though. He bet that he'd win.
It is. And if it comes out that regardless if Ohtani was or wasn't a part of it, he quote unquote paid it off. It's in his name transferring from his account. That's where the problem is. Right.
Even if he had no knowledge,
it was his money from his account. Like, good. It just, you're right. It's going to be so messy.
This is
going to go on all year too. This is not going away.
I'm going to make a bold. It's not even a bold take. I don't think anything happens to him. I actually don't think that he's going to have any sort of suspension because, again, he's the poster child. I think he'll get away with it.
If you believe in any sort of conspiracy theories, yep, this will be swept under the rug so fast.
Which is so stupid because then Pete Rose will still not get in the Hall of Fame and it's so dumb. But that's the way that it is. That's the way that it's going to be, I think. But I guess only time will tell. Who has it worse if you needed one of these players on your team? Javi Baez or Anthony Rendon? Let me give you a quick brief stats right now. Javi Baez this spring is batting 128 and Anthony Rendon is batting 185. Combined, Javier Baez and Anthony Rendon combined this spring are 11 for 74, which is a 149 batting average. They have 3 extra base hits and 3 RBIs. Together, they'll be paid $63.6 million combined this season. So, if you had to pick one of these guys to be on your team, who'd you pick?
Javi Baez.
Why? I already know the answer.
At least he can fucking play defense.
Oh, I thought it was going to be at least he'll give you a nice top 10 sports center play every now and then.
Yeah, you can lump that in there, but at least the guy's getting on the fucking field.
Yeah,
Rendon's a bum.
It's Baez by a mile. Rendon doesn't even want to play baseball. Why would I want that, you know... Lard as a teammate, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. It was a little short thing, but I just saw it on Twitter and I was like, I have to talk about this because it seems almost, you know, this is honestly the bigger question here. Anthony Rendon doesn't want to play baseball, but Javi Baez, I do question his effort, but like, he's just like, at least like Rendon, when like he doesn't swing at things like above his head in the dirt, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, questioning, is Baez like just not talented, or does he just like not care to where like if it's above his head, he just swings. He's like, I want to go back to the bench.
I think Javi Baez has one goal, and it's to hit a ball as far as he possibly can.
Doesn't matter what pitch, where it is, he's got one thing, it's to hit a homer. And watching Baez swing at a low and away slider might be one of my favorite things in all of baseball. He'll swing at anything.
No.
He doesn't do that though. He doesn't hit home runs.
No. My favorite thing is watching Judge try to hit that pitch when everybody knows it's coming. And they throw it for a strike and he swings at it all the time.
Every time. Like, with fastball, it's 400 dead center.
Yes. Right? Like, with Baez, at least my man's getting his A swing off.
I guess. I don't know. Little more baseball news. Jazz Chisholm was in the news last week for calling out Miguel Rojas in an interview, calling him not the real captain, the reason why he's not on the team, and basically a bum and just trashing him completely. They were former teammates on the Miami Marlins. Miguel Rojas was traded to the Dodgers last season. But Miguel Rojas finally responded. He spoke with Chris Rose, the former Intentional Talk co-host, and he said that when you come to a place, there are people that have been there before you. He said, when you come to a place, there are people that have been there before you. Before the.
Dude, you having a fucking stroke?
Why can't I speak? When it comes to a place, there are people that have been there before you. There's a rule set in place and someone is going to keep you accountable, Miguel Rojas said. I kind of agree with Miguel Rojas. I'm not a huge fan of Jazz Chisholm. I think that he's very lazy and I don't think that he puts any effort in. I think he's way too much of a show off for the talent that he has because he's not that talented. You can come after me in the comments if you want, but just look up his stats last year and the year before that, everything's going downhill. That's just my opinion.
Okay, so I'm 34 years old. I am gifted a certain supply of oxygen in my life by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I refuse to spend any of my oxygen on these two idiots.
My two cents on it is it seems to be very interesting timing. Like, where the hell is this coming from? Like, why is this just coming out now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about before about how Jazz Chisholm continues to kind of, you know, Houdini, you know, he goes out at nights and stuff. And then his performance.
Hold on. Don't fucking say it where people think I'm the one that's seeing him out. You know what I mean?
I didn't say it like that. I didn't mean to if I did, but you did say on this podcast that you know people that see him out in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, I'm just saying if it's like a first-time listener, they're going to be like, oh, Houdini's on the town with Jazz. Yo, Jazz. I am going to waste a little bit of oxygen on this, though. I think this is one of those things where they're boys and they texted each other like, yeah, you trying to get in the news? That's what I think this is.
This is totally real. There's no way. I don't think that's fake at all. This is totally real. I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Do you think that this was like a little skit to try to get in the news there for a second? Give the Marlins some relevance. I don't even know if Miguel Rojas is still playing. Is he a free agent? He might be. Maybe give him some relevance if he's still out there to someone to sign him. Who knows? The NFL owners have passed a new massive revamp in their kickoff. Deepaw, do you want to explain what's going on here? A lot has happened.
Yeah. And so what it basically is if you've watched any of the spring football with the XFL or USFL, instead of having the players all at the kickoff line and sprinting down 30 or 40 yards before running into each other, everything has been pushed down towards the other end zone. So instead of there being 30 yards of run up and dead sprint into each other, it is basically a 5-yard buffer between the kickoff team and the receiving team. So the goal is to reduce head-on collisions, which I get, And the kickoff has basically become a dead play too. I forget the exact stats around it, but very few balls were actually being returned. Everything was just getting kicked through the end zone. It wasn't really adding anything to the game. So I like the idea with where they're going. This is a 1 year trial that they're testing out with it. And I believe they have brought up two proposals. I don't know if they've decided on one of them, but both variations of what I just spoke. The one little thing that I thought was interesting too is, well, how does that still prevent like a touchback from happening? Teams will get like sort of penalized for doing a touchback, for like kicking it completely out of the end zone. They basically want the receiving team to receive the ball within like 15 yards of the goal line. So it should still result in a play and a return, but the hope is it should reduce the amount of, you know, full on head on collisions at full speed.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think it's, first of all, I think when you watch it, it's awesome. Like it really is. It's chaos. Right. And I kind of like that
kickoff.
No, right now, like when you watch those blockers turn like robots and they just like immediately start blocking, like it's utter chaos for like 5 seconds. But I also do think it increases the chance of increased kickbacks for touchdowns. My issue with it is, so yeah, okay, we're eliminating the possibility of head-on collisions in a kickoff. Okay, got that. That's good for the sport. Nothing on punt returns, though.
Correct.
Right? Which I've seen multiple punt returners get absolutely fucking leveled because of a fair catch rule, didn't see it, may have saw it, didn't call it, whatever it is, get absolutely destroyed. No adjustments to the punt game, which, if memory serves me correctly, this year I saw more punts than returned kicks. I also disagree with you have to notify the officials and the other team of when you're doing an onside kick. To me, Pat McAfee made basically himself on that play, right? Coming out of halftime of the Super Bowl. Yep. And you know, so I think the element of surprise is out on the onside kick. The onside kick is almost going to go extinct, so to speak, because when was the last time we saw one actually get recovered and it change a game? It's so unbelievably rare.
In my opinion, it's because a kickoff return is a very exciting play for a touchdown. You know, I think they want to see that. They want to see, even if it's not a full touchdown, you know, breaking through a seam and having a 30-yard return, it's still pretty exciting because you're like, oh, is he going to make it? Like, it's still a very exciting play. I think on punt is because they're not running down with that full head of steam. You got a defender right in front of your face as soon as you break off the line of scrimmage. So even though they're sprinting down full speed, they're getting blocked the whole time. You know, do the returners themselves get decked? Yes, absolutely. They can get absolutely blown up. But, you know, instead of it 10 guys going down and getting concussions, it could just be one person. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of got to play the odds a little bit, as sinister as that sounds.
The NFL owners also did not vote for Tom Brady's acquisition of being a minor team owner for the Las Vegas Raiders. Roger Goodell said that, I wouldn't say it's delayed. What he said, there are a few reasons why this deal hasn't gone through yet. Brady's deal to become Fox's leading game day analyst kind of complicates the matters, yep, they said, according to the owners. And the owners also have concerns about the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, offering Brady the team as a minority owner for a discounted price, because that would potentially lower the franchise value. So there's a lot of stuff going on here that the owners are going to be deciding very soon. If you were an owner, are you on the side of the other owners right now that are questioning if Tom Brady should be an NFL owner?
I want a written guarantee that he's not going to play.
Valid. Well, I think the biggest thing is the Fox job. You can't have a minority owner as famous as Tom Brady is, the greatest quarterback of all time in the sport, be a commentator and a minority owner in a ball club. So what, is he never going to talk about the Vegas Raiders ever? Like, he can't disparage another opponent. Then he's, you know, talking shit on an opponent. I think it's too complicated to do it. If he's smart, he doesn't do the Fox job and he goes with the minority, yes, ownership of the Raiders, because NFL valuations are only going to continue to skyrocket. It's only going to continue to get bigger. So if, you know, he made a ton of money during his career, But if I'm going to choose between the two, it's minority owner in Vegas. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Dude,
go do college football. It would definitely take you for that.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, just don't do pro. Right. He's got the name recognition. Everybody respects Tom Brady. Absolutely.
No, I think that's the more interesting thing to see what will happen. I think it's so crazy, though, how the owners are just like getting together. I mean, I guess that's what it is, though. It's a committee of owners. But they said that that will be decided, though, in the coming months, if Tom Brady will be a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders or not. Truth or fluke, J.J. McCarthy will get drafted first overall. That's a bold take. I know Caleb Williams is there, but there's a lot of people starting to talk about his potential being even higher. Now, I think the odds of him going second overall keep growing. So maybe he gets to first at this point.
J.J. McCarthy will be the Washington Commanders quarterback.
At two.
And I'm going to be honest with you. It's the stupidest thing in the world. And it's not about J.J. McCarthy. I am sure I'm going to fall in love with J.J. McCarthy. Over a 4 or 5 year span, I will fall in love with J.J. McCarthy. Does nothing flashy, takes care of the football, reminds me of Alex Smith, right? So I think that's a good quarterback to have. National champ, dealt with some adversity, plays a really solid football. But at the two, I no, you know, so if I'm the Commanders, I'm trading down. I'm going to that 5 or 6 range. I'm picking up another pick and I'm hoping he's there. If he's not there, then the plan completely folds. You're going to end up with Drake May or Jaden Daniels. But I do think his stock is rising and Jimmy Harbaugh is doing a great job selling him.
He is. I think he called it the best pro day in NFL history or in history that J.J. Yeah. McCarthy had. I'm shocked by how much he shot up the draft boards right now. For all the things you just said, Dino, you're exactly right. But just not seeing it, like, how else to say it? It's tough to evaluate him. Yes, he can make all the throws. Zach Wilson made all the throws during his pro day. People get enamored in arm talent. They do. And not seeing him actually have to compete that much in college kind of worries me about it. You know, I don't think they threw a pass against Penn State one game in the second half. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they unless he's
What a typical Big Ten football, dude. Right? What a typical Big Ten football game. Like,
he hasn't had to have an entire franchise on his back to win every single game. No offense to the Commanders. They're probably going to be down quite a lot this year. Like, he's going to have to throw the ball 40 times a game. I just don't know if he's that type of quarterback.
I don't know about that.
We don't need to get in this debate.
I don't know about that.
You don't think the Commanders are going to be down a lot this year?
No.
Okay.
Dan Quinn. Revamped defense.
Want Dan Quinn like 5 weeks ago. You said it was the worst move ever.
No, he's fallen in love with him now.
Dude, welcome to my life, dude.
Before the draft, even.
Yeah, dude, welcome to my life. I'm getting hyped.
Not to take Jaden Daniels. They would be absolutely foolish not to take him.
So, in consensus, J.J. McCarthy will not go first.
I guess we never
answered. No. He will not go one. He's going two to the Washington Commanders.
But if you would have told me, if a little, you know, genie from a bottle came by and told me,
I thought you were going to say Gypsy.
Gypsy. If Tommy Shelby popped on my shoulder right now and told me J.J. McCarthy's going to go number two, bet $1 million on it, I still wouldn't believe it. I just can't see him going number two. This is part of the smoke and mirrors that happens every single year in the NFL draft process. Just like the first five picks every year in a mock draft are quarterback, 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 quarterback. It never actually goes down that way. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, who's going to go first overall is even more of a conversation, but I'll save that for another podcast. I'm not a fan of Caleb Williams, but I feel like I've made that pretty clear on here before, but we won't get into that. Before we get out of here, though, we got one more thing. Houdini and Deepaw, give me the rundown on what's going on with March Madness. Got the Sweet 16 coming up.
Deepaw, awesome first round. You had some stunners. Gulkey from Oakland, absolutely torching lottery picks from Kentucky. This is just such a Kentucky normal NCAA tournament vibe, just like they've done for the last 5 years. So
yeah, I think, and what I loved about him too, Houdini, was he shot like four shots that weren't threes all year. Like, absolutely love it.
Yeah, and the guy literally says, like, I'm not going pro. They are, so might as well shoot. You know what I mean? Like, I love that. But when you start looking at the Sweet 16, and I've had this conversation with a couple people about reseeding it, X, Y, and Z, whatever. The first thing I'm going to tell you is you were spot on with NC State with your underdog pick. There's your 11 seed that made the Sweet 16. We talked about it. An 11 seed's going to come out. We talked about DJ Burns. We talked about DJ Horn. And both of them are carrying that team, and it is electric. Yep. DJ Burns flat out can play basketball.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah.
And he is an absolute unit. Is a unit. But when you're talking about touch around the glass, and he could probably play offensive line for the Commanders, it's unbelievable. But the matchups this weekend are unbelievable. You get a rematch of the national championship last year with UConn and San Diego State. UConn has beaten everybody by double digits. They did it last year. They beat everybody by double digits. Do you have UConn winning this one?
I do. Yeah. I think UConn's too good of a team. I think they're one of those, you know, I didn't pick them, but they're kind of one of those team of destinies kind of thing.
I think Arizona handles Clemson because I think Arizona is way too talented. You have Alabama and North Carolina. Deepak, who was your national champ?
The Tar Heels. And I'm going with them here as well too. They're just too complete of a team, and they're capable of putting up 90 on anybody. You can't get in a run and gun with them. And I think that's exactly what Carolina is going to do on Bama.
One of the premier matchups, Illinois and Iowa State, a 3-2 matchup, about as good as you could possibly get. Both can score up into the upper 90s. Both can hold opponents to under 50. Who do you like here? Because I like Iowa State, but I like Iowa State because they play a very gritty game of basketball.
I do. I like Iowa State as well. It's just what I saw. I didn't watch a ton of basketball this year, but I watched a lot of the conference tournaments. I loved what I saw out of Iowa State, and they're continuing to keep that going during the tournament. Illinois is a really good basketball team too.
Now your boys from NC State going up against an absolute powerhouse. Tyler Kolick is waiting. He's 100% healthy in Marquette. Do you think NC State keeps this rolling?
I do. Marquette should have lost last round too. Like, I know they won. I think they won by 8 or 9 then, but they should have lost that game. Give me the hot hand. Give me DJ Burns continuing to do what he's doing.
So you're giving the 11 seed is making the run. Here comes last year's FAU.
Yep.
You have an absolute banger. Purdue and Gonzaga. I have said in the past that I think Purdue could be the number one seed that falls off. However, I Zach Edey is playing at a completely different level, and I'm shocked that he's not being discussed as the number one overall pick, because I think he's absolutely dominant. I think Purdue wins this one, but by barely like 2 or 3 points. Creighton and Tennessee.
I picked Creighton to make the Final Four. I'm taking them here again. Let's go Blue Jays.
Their big three is legit. Now, the game that I really want to ask you about, and I've given a lot of thought to it, and I still don't know based on how Duke played last round. They absolutely dismantled JMU, in which I thought JMU had a sleeper's chance in that game. JMU was 32-3 and got blown out of the building. Duke and Houston might be the premier matchup of the weekend. Friday, 9:39 p.m. on CBS. I love the random time. I love the 9:39 tip, then the 10:13 tip. To me, that's amazing. Who do you have, Duke or Houston?
If it's the Duke that absolutely dismantled JMU, I think that's enough to do it. But that was basically a perfect game from Duke, and I think they need another perfect game to beat Houston, so I'm going Houston.
The only reason why I like Duke here is because Houston was up 11 points with 90 seconds left, and they struggled putting A&M away.
Did. Yeah, that was concerning, yeah.
Duke is very well coached. I do think this is the matchup of the week. If you're looking for a pick, in case you're a bettor, I would go with Duke +4.5. I think that's the safe play. And Jedi, that is your wrap-up for the Sweet 16 this weekend.
Well, sports fans will definitely be looking forward to that, but that's going to do it all for us here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure if you ever need to keep up to date with your sports news, then Hot Shots Podcast will always be the place for you. So subscribe and follow to all of our social media channels at Hot Shots Podcast. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.